Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to my show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it is a place where I like to talk about topics that are close to my heart, close to coming across in the topic of the day, a lot of media, how we might be looking at our health, how we might be looking at our lives, and a lot of the changes we as people and humans are facing. You know, it's not every day that everybody can say my life is perfect or everything is great. And I'm sure, I have no issues. You know, I get what I need and I stand up and everything's good to go. A lot of people are having challenges these days. And what I like to do on this show is to bring those challenges to light and really speak to them in a very conversational tone where it really doesn't matter how we get around to the topic where it may connect for you. All that matters is that you're able to feel like you've been heard. So many people say, you know, I really felt that, but I didn't want to tell anybody. You know, I was kind of worried about saying something to somebody because, you know, they might think I'm kind of crazy or they might not agree with me or maybe I should get in trouble if I say that. So the whole point is on this show, I like to bring up a topic, you know, and let's say what we want to say about it, how we might be feeling about it, whether it's good, the bad, or the ugly about it, it'll be okay because when we come down to the end, you just take away from the show what works for you and you're good to go. But you'll also feel a little bit more connection to the topic. My favorite show was always about incontinence. I mean, how many times can you say to men with prostate issues that maybe you need to start wearing a diaper after surgery and they're like, there's no way, and they'll just sit in their chair madder than Dickens. But we've also touched on those topics. And we've also covered a lot of topics about grief. What happens at the end? Why am I so scared? And what's everybody going to do about it when I'm gone? And what do I really need to worry about at the end? These are all topics we've talked about throughout the shows, so please reference back to my show page and you'll be able to find all of the topics over the past, I think it's about a year and a half now we've been doing this. Today's topic, we're going to be talking about a product. And the product is called PolyMVA. Don't worry about it. You don't need to worry about the name. It's not such a big deal. What we do want to talk about is how you can pick out a supplement, a nutritional supplement, to support your body when it's really on the edge, when it's really teetering on the end of that nail, when, boy, I really have to do something now. You know, the time when you hit the wall and you say, what am I going to do for myself today because I'm really not in a good space? So PolyMVA is a product, and the product is in the company called AMARC, A-M-A-R-C. They're the distributors, and it's a dietary supplement that we're talking about today. What I like about the company, I've known this company for several years, and gosh, probably right in the beginning I've even known this company because I lived in the West Coast and they tended to market to naturopathic physicians there, and that's how I found it. But at AMARC, their primary goal is giving information about PolyMVA and other supplements, but their most important thing is that it's an effective, natural, and powerful immune support system. The biggest thing I have a beef about is everybody says, oh, I'm taking something. My next door neighbor got it. You know, it's this multi-level thing. Or I bought something. You know, I got it when I went to the grocery store. Didn't you see it at Walmart or Costco's? If there's something on the shelves and it's been there for a very long time, chances are 99.9% it's going to do zip for you. So today, I really wanted to concentrate on talking about what is in a product. Why is it important for it to be a great product? Why do you go to a very specific company for a very specific product versus just being able to get it at a multi-level or national distributor? And what does it really mean for immune support? We really wanted to touch on that today. immune support. Does that mean I sit down and I have some yogurt every single day and, you know, I'm good to go and I've got immune support? So today I have several guests with me. The first guest is Al Sanchez, and he is the CEO of AIMARC. Also, my second guest is Gary Madsen, and he's the director of the Office of Practitioner Services for AIMARC. And my third guest is a client, that purchased the product and would like to give us his personal story. But as I can always say, I bring on people that have a story to tell. So Al has a story to tell, Gary has a story to tell, and also does the client that purchased the product have a story to tell. And they all personally, why they decided to be able to be affiliated with this company and affiliated with this product. So my first guest today is Al Sanchez, and I'd like to welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon or good morning, depending on where you're at. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Al. Well, can you contribute anything to what I had said in the beginning about how people just have such a skewed idea about what a nutritional supplement is and, like, where it is and why should I get it and, oh, well, I take everything and I'm good to go, right? We've heard this a zillion times, haven't we? I mean, people are like, oh, I got it. My grandmother gave me yogurt. I'm good to go, right?
Well, and to a certain degree, they are absolutely correct. What they have is just one piece of it. And so what we try and do as a company, and what I try and do personally, is to bring it full circle into the big picture, to make it not only easier to understand, but when you get why you're doing it, then it makes it much more acceptable and easy to implement into your life, because now you know why. Not just because grandma told you to, but grandma told you to eat yogurt because it has probiotics in it and it's good for digestive health. So there's the end of the story as to why that's great. And that's an important part, because you talked about immune system. Well, guess what? Your immune system starts in your gut. It starts in your intestine. It's the first thing that gets triggered. It's the first response that our body has to most everything that somehow that enters our body typically. It goes in our bloodstream and it gets a reaction. So very important. But on that note, it's why other supplementation is so imperative. And so when you're just going to, let's say, like you said, a national chain of something, why are you taking what you're taking is the most important thing that the individual needs to understand to see how it fits into that bigger picture of health. And then you say, that makes sense. And then when you make dietary choices every day, I mean, every day that we eat and live in this world, we are making a choice for our health. And my hope is that when you make those choices, it's not asking you to change your life on a dime today. What it says is to start making that shift sooner rather than later, because the later part tends to come with disease, tends to come with a complicated situation, tends to come with hospitals and doctors and pharmacies versus starting out with just your own personal choice. And it kind of gets taken away from you. So what we're trying to do here, and I think a lot of what your mission is to empower people with knowledge and information and how it can better suit them, and they can make a good choice understanding what their goal is.
You know, so many times people will say to me, oh, yeah, my eyes have been a real problem, and I ate blueberries. I ate tons of them. I ate them for 3 meals a day for 2 weeks, and it didn't do anything, so I quit doing it because it didn't work. And the it in it, that it didn't work. You know, I think it's very important on most of our nutritional or healthy or lifestyle programs that we really have to encompass everything, like we're saying. You know, you can't just say, I'm going to take a product and it is the key that's going to turn my body and fix all those spots that were bad. You know, we give that power over sometimes to the doctor when we walk in. We say, I have a headache. I need a prescription. I go out, I take that prescription, my headache's gone. And I think maybe we've been conditioned in our younger years to think that process will work, but then when we're faced with hitting the wall or something chronic or something so complicated and difficult to handle or life-changing, it's hard to grasp. You know, what do you do then? Then you shop. Then you start seeing, you know, hey, you didn't fix me. You told me that test was going to fix me. You told me that was going to fix me. I had that therapy. Why did it come back? And, you know, the part that this whole paradigm. It's a big circle. It's just we haven't stepped into it until it's sometimes very late.
Well, not only that, you just covered so much in that little short.
I know.
We go and get a prescription. What did that prescription do? Did it take care of her headache? Of course it did. Why? Because if it was Tylenol or aspirin or maybe a heavier type drug, it blocked some action or nerve receptor in our body, and it just all it was a Band-Aid to the situation. It didn't heal. You know, we use that term, you know, Band-Aids to situations. Think about it. Why do we put a Band-Aid on an open wound? Only to protect it. The Band-Aid doesn't do anything to necessarily help heal the situation. Well, it does because it's protecting it. But the body is doing everything it needs to do. We're just giving it the environment, the better environment, rather than keeping it in dirt and keeping it open and keeping it from letting it scab over and heal on its own. All we do is provide the environment so the body can heal. So, and I don't care what disease it is or what situation it is, that's all we're doing. We're helping the body to do what the body does. So that's why supplementation, nutraceuticals, are so not only important, but can be very specific in very many situations. So it's key in understanding not only in what you're eating, but what you're taking and why, because a lot of times different people want to target different things. So, for example, if you have a headache, there are certain things you will take to do that. If you have sore muscles, there are certain things you want to do that. If you have diabetes, there are certain things you want to do that. And then everybody's physiology is a little bit different, so of course it's going to be different. And it's up to us to understand what that is. And we know our bodies better than anybody else knows our bodies. So when something works, when something resonates, when something actually is doing something, we know it if we listen to it. And I think that's where the key is, especially in the arena that I come from. I mean, mm-hmm. like you said, I'll have a personal story for what and why we're here. I'm here because of my family's history with colon cancer. It killed my mother, it killed my sister, it killed my grandmother. Straight, that's the bottom line. That's why I'm here. And once I was opened up to what was going on, because we typically followed the general protocols and applications of and we found out that the doctors really don't know what they were doing. They were doing the best they could do under what they knew. Well, guess what? They don't know everything.
Right.
That's why they're practicing medicine, right? And it's up to everyone to kind of come together when you come up against a situation that's bigger than one can handle, to reach out, to look for options, to ask for resourcing, and to find people such as yourself and such as our company that are providing these options. That's all that it is. It's providing an option, an opportunity. Is it going to work? Nothing works 100% of the time. Will it make a difference? Yes, it will, as you've seen as well as I've seen.
Right. Well, you know, so many times people are lovely about lambasting the MDs or the NDs or the oncologists or the doctor or the surgeon or whatever it is. And I really strive on this program to always say we can't look at labels. We have to look at they helped us with what the knowledge they had with what you presented them to. Also, patients, when you go into a doctor, if you're sitting down saying, I'm looking at your watch, I've got 5 minutes because I know my kids, I've got to go pick them up and hurry up and I'm telling you what's going on. Where's that responsibility also? You know, you're asking him or her to make a grave decision about your health, but you're giving them 1/1,000,000,000 of the information they need. You're not telling them what they need to know to be able to even do a test or a drug or anything, and you're pretty much coming in with your list, this is what I have, this is what I need, see you later, and you're prescribing those therapies. When sometimes you just have to give and take around that whole circle and everybody work together. And I really strive to say that in the shows, that everybody take a little bit from each person, work around your circle, and find that for yourself. But it's also for yourself, too. You can't say, like I did in the beginning, you know, I'm just going to eat blueberries for 2 weeks and I'm good to go. You may need to do blueberries. You may need to do another nutritional supplement. You may need to do a little surgery. And you may need to do a little bit of some other therapy. But it's all the way around the circle. It's not just, this is it. That's the only road I'm on. You know, when you walk down the road, there's flowers and stuff growing up in between those rocks. Everything is participating in nature, and you really need to notice that with yourself. what do you need to tell your doctor? Look at your whole self, being able to look at your therapies and your treatments and know and how you'll be able to work into that.
Well, and very well put, that it's a journey that we're all on, and it's somewhat similar, but we're at different stages and different paths of that, and how you put it all together is going to be key. And it's not perfect, and there is no master plan, and there is no one way to the end of the road. We're all going necessarily to the same end of the road, per
right.
se, but how we get there and it, that gets to be our choice. That gets to be what we do each and every day. So, like you mentioned earlier, a disease typically doesn't just happen overnight, especially mm-hmm. the degenerative diseases that we're seeing in today's day and age in the Western world. you know, you look at it historically, cancer rates have just really become, quote-unquote, pandemic to a certain degree. At the beginning of the 20th century, they were 1 in 77, even adjusting for age. And now they're close to 1 in 3, depending on the type of cancer, the age, and the race. So either way, if any other disease were to have overtake our society and our world at the rate that cancer has, it would be pandemic. You look at all the other diseases that we've kind of gone up against. Heart disease, we've made a huge difference in it. We understand it. We realize the things that can impact it, and we can start making dietary changes that will produce lasting effects down the road. And just because you're taking those, quote-unquote, those blueberries and you don't see a difference, does it mean that it didn't make a difference? No.
Right.
Just because you can't see it doesn't mean that it is. And I like to use the big analogy for, because everybody drives a car. I said, just because you don't, when you change your oil every, you know, at every maintenance, at every 5,000 miles or so, do you see the difference it's doing? No. But tell you what, don't change that oil for 20, 30,000 miles. And a few, on the road, you're going to feel the difference, because all of a sudden you're going to damage something that's going to cost you a whole lot more money than had you maintained it. Our bodies are no different. If you take care of your car, if you take care of your body, if you keep it in the garage, if you wash and wax it, if you maintain it, it will likely last you a whole lot longer than if you didn't. But that's completely your choice. So what would you rather do? And we know that prevention is far more healthier and cheaper than disease. And yet it still happens, because sometimes it takes a lot for people to finally change and to see what it is. And some people just didn't know. You know, some people finally understand, like, oh, my God, I can't believe I've been, you know, what these things in these, you know, aftermarket soda drinks or all these prepackaged foods and all this stuff is accumulating, you know. Does a little bit of aspartame hurt you if you were to have it once? No. But continue to drink Diet Coke for the next 5 years with aspartame in it, and guess what?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have some concerns. So
well,
how it affects you?
You know, we talk about prevention, and in my belief, I believe that prevention in medicine really is a new age term, because I can tell you with my grandmothers, they didn't need to prevent anything because there wasn't anything going around then. They just were healthy people. My daughter, just not 2 hours before this show today, wanted to know, well, she's getting ready to graduate and she's going to be an ER doctor. And I had said to her, you know, what are you thinking, you know? And she said, you know, I was really wondering about my ancestors. And she said, how long did your grandmother live? And I said, 99. She said, what did she die of? I said, she just died one day, you know, 99. And then she said, well, what about my grandfather? And I said, well, he died, but, you know, he worked in the mines all his life as a kid, and then, you know, the mines, they were a lot of heavy drinkers, so he died of that. And she says, okay, well, what about the other grandmothers on the other side? I said, she died at 92, and she died of old age. What about the grandfather? Oh, he died at, you know, 66, because he went to the dentist, and the dentist gave him an injection, and he had a heart attack because he didn't ask. And she said, well, look at grandmother and grandfather. They're in their 80s right now. Her grandmother and grandfather, my parents, and they have never taken drugs for any reason, and they still don't, and they just eat well. And it's just, so do you say it's in your genetics? Do you say it's the way you grew up? But I'll tell you, every time we go back to all these relatives, and I remember all the time, we grew up in the Northeast by the Amish country. So we didn't have preservatives. We didn't have exposures. We lived on the top of the mountain. We went to the butcher down the street and to the farm up the road to get our vegetables and the dairy on the other side. And still to this day, many of those people do. So when we say prevention now, we didn't need to worry about it then because we were doing what we were supposed to be doing. We were nurturing, you know, ourselves. We were outside, so we were doing all of that. We were eating good foods. We didn't need those drugs. You know, to be able to get your vegetables, you'd best be out there planting them and going and getting them and weeding them or you aren't getting them, you know. It's not like nowadays where everything is just, I want it now, I want it today, how fast can I get it? And you really don't care because I'm starving, I'm going to eat whatever the restaurant has or puts in front of me. So don't you think that maybe prevention has really just been something that's come along because of our lifestyle and the way in which we are interacting these days?
You know, I never actually thought about it in those regards because, but I think I would agree with you. You know, it's amazing that you're absolutely right. They didn't have, what did they have to prevent?
Pretty right.
What they had to prevent really was more like accidents. They had to prevent, you know, we've become a lot more safer in this world because of seat belts and safety and crosswalks and stop signs and those types of things and our vehicles and all these things. But from our health point of view, it wasn't even on our radar. We simply, if you live that life, they didn't understand it. They didn't know it at the time, right? Like I said, your own grandfather and mine. But we now know it. So we've made this world this safer world from a call it a technological point of view, but from a medicinal point of view, we've actually made ourselves sicker. You know, from the 50s till now, we've introduced well over, last I heard, I know it was well over 50,000. I've heard 80,000, I've heard 100,000, so let's stick within the middle and call it 75,000 regardless. 75,000 new chemicals are in our environment that never existed on the face of the earth ever before.
We
live around them every day. We put them on our bodies. We spray them in the air. We clean. We cook. We eat with them, thinking that somehow it's making our food safer. It's making our houses cleaner. It's doing all these things. And yet what it's actually doing is creating a toxic soup that gets around us when we walk outside and we walk in somebody's grass barefooted and they happen to have sprayed for pesticides. Guess what? You're going to absorb that right into your skin. Our pets are absorbing that. Their cancer rates are almost equal to what humans are now. It's not rocket science to see why these degenerative diseases, and most importantly, cancer, have propagated the way that they have. And until we, now we have to consciously do it. I mean, think about it. For you or myself to actually consciously move ourselves out of the situation and get away from any other chemical, we can do it pretty much around us, but what about the air we breathe? Because what's going on across the world and what they're putting out into the environment, guess what? Floats across the atmosphere now, lands in our soils, and gets directly taken into the food and or all the food that we typically eat. So we have to now take these extra precautions. We now have to soak all our vegetables. We have to go make sure that our farm animals are being raised properly and not being injected with hormones and not being injected with this and not being sprayed chemicals and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, my God, we have to defend ourselves from the simple things.
Well, you know, I think so, too, that in the past, what I might say 50 to 60 years, we've been like takers, you know, gimme, gimme, gimmes. And I find that now we're slammed up against the wall because now we're in our 50s, 60s, and 70s, and all of a sudden these things are presenting. And it's like, well, maybe they've been all along. You've been actually welcoming them into your body, you know, like by saying, I'm drinking this that I shouldn't have never drank 50 years ago. So we're kind of welcomed it in. And now I think we're at the point where a lot of people are saying, you know, I think I'm going to take my self-responsibility back and say, I don't want to welcome in what make me feel better. I want what will make my health and myself feel better. In other words, starting to look at, do I really want to eat that? If that's all there is to eat, maybe I should just get up off my duff and go someplace else, you know? Or maybe if that doctor is telling me this, maybe I'll say, you know what? But I really kind of have an instinct that maybe I should check out something else and to get up and do that. So I think we're at a time when people are starting to learn that they need to start listening and paying attention, but they have the responsibility for where they are too and not just it put upon them.
Well, I think your point is again, very valid and well thought out, and twofold, because now we're in a double crux to a certain degree. We're in the crux
right.
of we now have to deal with these ramifications that already cancer rates are 1 in 3. Children have the highest likelihood of dying of cancer before the age of 12 or 14 than they do of anything else. And what do we do with what we have? We can start making changes, but those changes, say if tomorrow we outlawed all the chemicals in the world, it's still going to take another generation or generation and a half, depending on what it is, to mm-hmm. clean that up, to get that out of the system, and to start making a difference, because everybody now, of course, has been around these chemicals for so long. So what do we do when someone has that disease now, and how can we help, and where are we at? So we I don't think anybody would disagree that prevention and preventive medicine and almost, I think about it as we were talking about cars, it used to be defensive driving. Now what do we have to do? We have to
right.
have defensive eating. We have to have defensive stress. We have to have defensive breathing techniques, because we got to defend ourselves technically mm-hmm. against all these things that are around us, and yet it's nice to know that there are. You can go and buy air purifiers for your home. You can pretty much get rid of all your chemicals now, and just realize that just a little bit of bleach is fine, and it does it. And if you mm-hmm. want to do, there's a lot of companies out there that have really turned this around to make it. They give the consumers the option. They guess what? You don't have to go and take. I love toothpaste. You ever read what's on the back of a toothpaste?
I know.
Right?
I don't because I don't have any in the house.
Well,
sorry.
I'll never forget. It was years ago that I did. So anyone out there that might be listening, go grab your Colgate or your Crest toothpaste and read the back of it and see what it says. That if you swallow it, you need to call, is it the CDC
right.
or poison control, right?
I looked at
that one time and I about fell out. I'm all, here I am. I have three mm-hmm. sons. Here I am asking my children to brush with it. Am I crazy? Yeah.
But
guess what? You're going to go back to like what Grandma showed me, and that was a little bit of baking soda with a little bit of hydrogen peroxide. Guess what? Fine, dandy. You don't need no Listerine. You don't need no mouthwash with chemicals. No. All you need is a little bit of baking soda and kill the gingivitis. You can just mouthwash with hydrogen peroxide. Does it taste good? No. Would you rather have the flavored other stuff? Of course. You want to pay the price what that might be doing? I don't. I've already lost three family members again. So I've made the choice to say, I'm not going to do it anymore. It's no longer convenient. Just because it has flavor, just because it's easy to do,
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean I need to go do it. So I've changed my life accordingly.
Well, I had to look back on my past professions, and I was a dental hygienist for 30 years. And until I totally stepped away from that and started to look back at that, all of the exposures that I have undergone in my life had been so detrimental to my health. I mean, we grew up in the 70s and I went to dental hygiene school. Everybody was given, the little vials of mercury. And we used to play with it in class because they wanted us to see and feel what mercury kind of felt like and how it goes into your amalgams. And, we always had it in our hands all the time. And,
right.
10, 20 years.
Like a marble, huh?
Yeah, for 20 years, we would squeeze out the mercury in a little linen cloth to be able to get it out of the filling before they put it in your mouth. Or I would put so much fluoride on people's teeth, it was unbelievable. And to step away from that. And then someone had said to me, I think it was about a few years ago when I was looking at getting back into, getting another job at the new area, I needed to start getting some income. And they said, go back to dental hygiene. And you know what? I started to cry, and they said, what is wrong? I said, because I feel like that would be selling my soul. It would break me like there was nobody's business. It was so far-fetched and so far away from my gut and in how I felt that people should be treated that I simply couldn't. And it just had a hold on me like I just it was like I just couldn't even, I had to walk away. It was just so straining to know that those
wow.
things are still happening to people. So, you know, and then how would you know as a person when you're coming in for these treatments? So, but go ahead.
Sorry, and that's part of it, and they don't know. So when they do, I think that's why, you know, I don't know if WJ is on the line yet, but he's a great example of you know, a person that understood it and made a choice and made some decisions, because he kind of was forced to have to, but at the same time, he realized that his health was his responsibility.
Well, how about we bring on WJ now, and we will have him give his story. Does that work?
Sure.
Great.
Yeah, we'll let him share and let him talk about it from his perspective.
And then we'll talk about the product and the company. Great.
Sure.
WJ?
How you doing this morning, Doctor?
How are you?
Great. Thank you.
Great. I'm sorry you were on hold for so long. We just kind of, sometimes my mouth doesn't stop.
No, that's okay. It's really interesting hearing Al and you speak, and it's always enlightening to me every time I hear this.
Well, you know, and that's what I had said with Al in the beginning, is that he and I, we all have connections to the stories that we share every day. So to say about our personal experiences is really important, because so many people are not connected to that. They're afraid to let anyone know that they have a question in, you know, inside of them, or they're embarrassed to ask questions that maybe they don't understand the words or the definition. And I really strive on this show, and I always ask the people that come on, please speak like you're speaking to your grandmother, because you know what? If I don't understand a word that you're saying in a sentence, I'm not going to listen to the rest of the story. So we really want them to be able to understand, because a lot of people don't, and they're scared, and they really do need help. So I'm so thankful you were able to be on today to share your story. So you can start whenever you're ready.
Oh, sure. I'll give you the brief history. I was diagnosed with a life-threatening cancer, chronic lymphocytic leukemia, which is also known as CLL. And when I first got that diagnosis, I thought, oh, my God, here we go. You know, like most people, I went on the Internet to find out what is this disease, because it's going to tell me a lot, you know.
Right.
And it pretty much gave you a life expectancy of 8 years once you've been diagnosed, once you find out you've got it. And I thought, well, this is it, because I'm already in year seven, because I went and looked back at my military records. I was a pilot in the Navy. And if I found out that I actually had it about 6 or 7 years earlier. And to make a long story short, like I said, I went right, you know, my doctor had me do some blood tests, and I had a bone marrow aspiration, and turned out confirmation from two different highly regarded sources. One was MD Anderson out in Houston, Texas, and I also had confirmation from Nevada Cancer Institute, Comprehensive Cancer Centers of Nevada. And finally, even 6 months later, because I still wanted to make sure I really had what they thought I had, I went to the City of Hope in Los Angeles area, and then I finally hit me like a brick wall. Yes, I do have this type of cancer. And fortunately, in the meantime, the doctor I was seeing, Dr. Pepe, who's he's retired now, he doesn't practice anymore, but he'd gone to a conference where Al made a presentation, Mr. Sanchez, on poly-MVA from AMARC. And he said, I've never used it before, but I heard about this stuff at a medical conference I went to, and it's worth a shot. Now, the reason it's worth a shot to me was I'm one of these people, I try not to do anything that I don't have to with drugs or chemicals, and try to do as natural as I can. And the theory behind poly-MVA was to take and enhance your immune system in your body and let your body heal itself, or let your body control this disease and keep it at a very, you know, minimum level, and not let it take off like it's supposed to take off. So I called up Gary Mattson at poly-MVA, spoke to him. I guess he's going to be on your show a little bit later, too. But Gary mentioned, you know, not only take the poly-MVA, but had some other supplemental vitamins to take and see how it works. Well, I went on a strict regimen of poly-MVA and the vitamins that Gary had me take, and I can go into those later on if we need to, but they're all supplemental vitamins that have no drug effects whatsoever. And why do I say that? It's because I'm a pilot for a major airline now. And I was in the military, but I'm a pilot for a major airline, and I'm still flying. And one disease that you, if you have this disease, it's in the FAA notes. it says that if you have this specific disease, which I have, CLL, that you're no longer eligible to hold an airman's certificate. So working with AMARC and PolyMVA, and in conjunction with letters that I got from research doctors at MD Anderson, City of Hope, and the Nevada Cancer Institute, comprehensive cancer centers, I sent all this information to the FAA, and lo and behold, the FAA granted me a waiver and let me continue to fly because I was still healthy and I was still exercising and still felt fine, and my cancer was being held at bay, and I'd say primarily because of PolyMVA, allowing my body to enhance its immune system and keep it down to a very low level, you know, before it took off. And so they gave me a six-month waiver. And every 6 months I had to be checked by a cancer doctor, and I had to be have a blood test and go to an FAA doctor, an aeromedical examiner, and then they submitted that information to the FAA. Well, after 2 years of doing this, the FAA extended my waiver from a six-month waiver to a six-year waiver with a check from a cancer doctor set every 6 months to once a year. And so I'm still continuing to fly, and I've been taking PolyMVA now for Gary and Al could probably tell you, probably in the neighborhood of 6 to 7 years, I would say. And I'm still active. I'm still flying as a pilot. I'm flying all over the world. I fly for, like, say, a major airline. And, you know, I believe if I hadn't taken steps to PolyMVA, the only alternative would have been the disease getting worse and eventually going to chemotherapy, which I don't want to do. But I'm able to continue my career and my job with a disease that was supposed to be grounding for a pilot. And that's the brief history of my story. There's more to it. But, you know, I was told, like, say, by the Cancer Institute at MD Anderson, we don't know what you're doing, but keep doing what you're doing. And because we're not going to give you any kind of drugs right now at this time. And all I was doing really was taking the nutritional supplements, exercising at a regular rate, and taking PolyMVA.
And you know, so many times these days, people are saying, the doctor said, I don't have the disease yet, but he's watching. And let's use an example of diabetes. My sugar, let's just say, is 109, and when it's 110, he's going to give me a drug, and he's going to put it down on my chart that I have diabetes. Or, you know, your levels are moving up there, but they're nothing to worry about. We'll worry about them when they get to this level. So all of this watchful waiting stuff, and same thing with prostate now. Yeah, it's getting bigger, and yeah, I see some cells there, but, you know, is it slow? Is it fast? Everybody likes to, and I will say everybody, just using as a general term, people say, we're waiting, we're watching it, we're watching it. So they leave the doctor's office, and for the next 6 months, they go around and tell everybody, I don't have anything, but we're watching it, we're watching it. And then they go back to the doctors and they say, did you watch it? What happened? And it's sort of to me like this little slow motion TV show where you've done nothing except sit on the couch and wait and watch till 6 months passed because you've done nothing in the meantime, you know. Yeah. And when you look at it, well, if you sit there and watch something long enough, something's going to shift. But you have done nothing to have an interaction, you know. And by giving nutrition and doing a lot of these nutrients from AMARC, it makes a huge difference because what you've done is you've said prior to taking them, okay, some of my processes, or let's say using the car as an example, maybe a few of the hoses are getting clogged up and another one's got a few pinholes in it and stuff. What you've done is you've gone in and you've cleaned up some of those hoses and replaced them, and you've given a little bit more support, made them more flexible. And now maybe, just maybe, that engine won't blow out in the next, quote, 6 months of watchful waiting. So people really need to understand that, what is watchful waiting? Am I sitting here waiting? Or do you really need to be starting to do something?
Well, I'd say what, doctor, I personally believe, you know, you're exactly right. Doc, watchful waiting is what, you know, people like to say and like to do before they start giving you drugs, you know, and before they start giving you chemotherapy. But I felt I should take action right away when I found out I had this disease. And I was fortunate to find out about AMARC because my doctor who had been to a conference and heard about it. And I worked very closely with him. And I really, truly believe the reason why I'm still out there flying And I'm 61 years of age, and the government raised the flying age for captains to 65 about 3 years ago. It used to be 60, you had to retire. And you can't see me on the radio or on the internet, but I'm a picture of health. I mean, I'm 61, but I really look like I'm in my late 40s, and I exercise on a elliptical trainer at level 17 of 20 for an hour, 4 days a week. And I think taking the exercise and the supplements from A-Mark, you know, like I said, I've been doing it for almost 7 years now. I really firmly believe that's had a positive impact, plus I have a positive attitude, but it has a positive impact. And the reason I'm still thriving and going is because I'm doing these things early in the disease and not waiting, like you said, until something major happens when I'm going to need drugs. And I'm trying to let my body cure itself inside now by doing the supplements that are recommended and utilizing the supplements that are recommended from the experts at A-Mark.
Al, did you have something you can add?
Yeah, no, I think it's a perfect example of what you were talking about from both your perspectives. Me representing the product and the company is really just the middleman. I'm just the conduit that puts patients in touch with doctors that understand what both of you have both said from your various perspectives, that the maintenance, the doing something continuously will make a difference. You know, in WJ's case, he had to come face to face with the CLL, and he had the opportunity to keep it at bay. And in doing so, he's now quote unquote living with the disease. Well, in a certain degree, all of us are living with the disease. You talked about it from a diagnosis there, Dr.
Right.
J. Guess what? There's in a full grown adult. There's approximately 60 trillion of cells. Out of those 60 trillion cells, 300 million of them are dividing and changing right now. Out of that 300 million of them, at least 1% of them don't replicate and process correctly, and by definition are a cancer cell. But guess what? Our body deals with it. It moves them out of the way, takes care of it, and moves on with its day because everything is working properly. When that becomes a place where it becomes, quote-unquote, detectable, like you said, that is typically way past the point as to when you could maintenance or done something about it. It's part of the big problem with cancer, is that by the time one cancer cell becomes noticeable in a tumor, it's about a billion cells already. And by that time, guess how long it takes about one cancer cell to replicate to become noticeable either in a scan or in blood work? Guess
mm-hmm.
what? It takes 5 years.
Right.
No coincidence. That's why they use the 5-year standard of survival, because going to a surgery and then getting chemotherapy or radiation, guess what? It kills most of the cancer cells. It does. It kills all the
right.
other cells as well, but it does. So why do you think it takes 5 years for them to say if you're clear or not? Because if it stayed around, if your body wasn't able to overcome it from the surgeries and the treatments they gave you, then, oh, you've had a recurrence. And how come the cancer is usually more aggressive? Because of other reasons, but 9 times out of 10, it typically comes back as a secondary cancer, which is much more aggressive because now your body's been compromised due to these difficult treatments and and surgeries. So it makes common sense, in my opinion, that you would treat things and help things holistically and naturally, because that's what our body does. It fights this cancer all the time. It's normally doing that on a regular basis. Our responsibility is to be good stewards of that body and to take care of it, and I think that's just where a big role of poly-A plays, because it targets a very key mechanism that is specific in cancer cells and helps normal cells.
You know, so many times people would say to me, I'm not going to take supplements. Oh, all those people are just popping pills and blah, blah, blah. But then I sit down and I look at what they ate. Now, I can use a certain person that I might know, and this person has 2 bottles of milk in the morning for breakfast. Lunch is a big, huge hamburger, and it has to be black because they have to make sure that it doesn't have any pink in it because they don't eat pink food.
Okay.
And with that, they have to make sure that they have French fries and ketchup. And since we live in the South, of course they have soda because it's hot as it blazes here. And when they have the soda at the restaurant, you can have as many refills as you want. They don't ever charge you for them. And they have about 4 or 5 sodas before their food comes, and they have about 4 or 5 of them during the meal. Big glasses. I mean, we're talking big glasses. And then they said, okay, so can you give me, I need to go stop at the gas station because I need to get one of those big gulps to be able to put in the car for when I drive around all day. Then they come home for supper, and supper is, it's got to be potatoes, and then it's got to be some sort of meat or white rice. And then we're back on the soda train again. And then, oh, my gosh, my mother always made cake for dessert, so that's what we're going to have today. Now, I want you to tell me where the heck you saw vitamin C in that day. Zip. Now, if we all know, and everyone on this, that listens knows, vitamin C is important because that's what, you know, they used to say when you came over on the ships, you got scurvy. You know, you needed vitamin C. But people can't even identify a basic vitamin C deficiency anymore by saying, I didn't have any today. Then, therefore, you are deficient, period. We know that stress burns vitamin C like nobody's business. So if I sit down and I'm arguing with my kids while I'm having breakfast, whatever vitamin C was in my body for that day, it's gone within 10 minutes. So now, how is the rest of your body supposed to function? So if you're always on this double negative, as I call it, you don't only have to supplement to be able to get up to a certain dose, you have to be a double negative, a double positive, because you've got to overcome your deficiency, overcome where you are today, and bring you up to a higher level. And that's so important when people are taking supplements to actually know that it's a viable product. I mean, my goodness, you have to eat right. You have to get your supplements and your nutrition in there. Then you have to take other nutrients that will be able to further bring you higher up. And then you look at your other medications or your therapies. I mean, that is really a huge tier, like WJ said, and then add in the exercise. If that all is not working together, then you're running with a limp leg, as I call it.
Well, one other thing, too, I'd like to point out that, as you mentioned, people take these pills. Well, poly-MVA comes in a liquid form. And I know Al hasn't had a chance, but he probably will talk about how it's formulated, but the bottom line is it comes in liquid form, and it's chemically bonded to the precious metal, very small trace amounts of palladium. And so it actually enters into your bone marrow, into your tissues and things like that. It's not in the pill form. The way it's formulated, it delivers this vital vitamin B and other vitamins, immune system type vitamins, into your system and into your tissue. So you're not, like most pill forms, you're not peeing out or urinating most right. of the benefits of the vitamin. So it's actually going in to actually work inside your system, your tissues, your bone marrow, et cetera. I think that's a big part of it.
Right.
Supplemented with coenzyme Q10, which you add to the poly-NVA, is also in liquid form, what they recommend, you're really giving your body a big dose of vitamins, immune-type vitamins, that are working with a retention rate extremely high compared to just popping pills and vitamins and supplements. So I think the delivery method of poly-MVA is also unique, and it's also something that really aids in your body helping to heal itself.
I think so many people turn around and say, I have a bad immune system or my stomach's been bothering me for 100 years. Give me those supplements. They're taking the ones from the store that are in tablet form. And I'm like, okay, I'm just not even going to enter that conversation, you know. And it's very essential in the form in which it comes in to be able to address how you would be able to absorb a product. So, Al, could you tell us about the products that A-Mark has?
No, love to. I think, WJ, you put it better than I could put it myself. Thank you. So you talked about just going and getting some supplements, and that's
right.
good. You could go and you could take a multivitamin, and you're going to get various levels from vitamins and minerals and things. Okay, great. You talked about scurvy and vitamin C and that, and how's that look and how our body burns it. You talked about how people say you're just wasting your money, and I always my
mm-hmm.
response to that is always, you know what? I probably have the most expensive urine in this building right now, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to do it because my body, our bodies, are self-regulators. They want to find what that fancy term that's called homeostasis. It knows what it needs. It knows what it doesn't need. I don't. I don't know whether I need 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C today or whether I only need 400 milligrams of vitamin C today. That's the nice thing about these water-soluble vitamins is it great. Take 5,000 milligrams of vitamin C daily. And if you pee out
3,500 of it today, and you peed out 2,000 of it tomorrow, and you peed out, well, guess what? That's cheap insurance in my book. Hands down, I'd be happy to do it on a daily basis. And if that means that I'm not going to the movies anymore because I need to spend my $10 a month on my supplements, then that's what it means. I have no problem with it. I'm not going to lose sleep about it. That's the way my life is because that's what's more important to me. I know I can catch a movie on Netflix or it's going to be out on DVD. You know what I mean? So
that's right.
With Polly is very unique because it's not just a bunch of – so PolyMVA, the name actually means something. Poly meaning multiple things. The multiple things that are put together, like WJ said, are alpha-lipoic acid, the mineral palladium, and thiamin B1. Dr. Garnett put those together very specifically to do a very specific action. He then surrounded them with what we call the MVA part, the other minerals, vitamins, and amino acids, B2, B12, N-acetylcysteine, formylmethionine, molybdenum, rhodium, ruthenium, so that they could all work together as cofactors. So the analogy I like to use is think about a symphony. You know, you can have someone play an instrument, and it sounds wonderful. They're wonderful on the flute and or the cello or whatever it might be. You take all these different instruments and you put them together, and what do you have? You have a symphony. Now you have this music that is playing in a form that can't be done by themselves. And when you put that synergy together in the way that Dr. Grant put together PolyMVA, now you have a molecule and you have a complex that is a very specific action that is required by all healthy cells of our body. It helps not only protect our cells because of the alpha-lipoic acid. Alpha-lipoic acid is the main molecule of the complex. It's water and fat soluble, so guess what? It travels to all cells of our body. Very, very key. You take that and you attach it with thiamin. What's thiamin used for? Well, guess what? Thiamin B1, we take our B complexes when we need what? When we need our energy, right? It plays a very key role in these little things in our cells called the mitochondria. These are the powerhouses of our cells. Without that, nothing else happens. Nothing. If our mitochondria are not happy and if they're not producing that funny little molecule that's called ATP via the Krebs cycle, and it's not doing it properly, everything else suffers. So this is where Poly works. It's targeting right there at that mitochondria. It's helping to protect our cells at the same time. And when it's doing so, it's giving our cells energy, and its byproduct is oxygen. Well, guess what? Oxygen is good for our cells. Do cancer cells like oxygen? Nope. Hence the reason why the molecule is typically so associated with people in a cancer situation, because that's where they're deficient. So going back to that analogy that I just gave about vitamin C, our bodies know what it wants. And when you're in a deprivation of oxygen, when you're in an anaerobic environment like our cells can become, or caused by all kinds of other factors, now you've just given it the primary charge it needs to go do what it needs to do. But it still needs other things around it as well. So that's, in a nutshell, why it's so unique. You can't get it just by going and mixing alpha-lipoic acid, thiamin, B2, and all these other things that I mentioned earlier. No, they are put together in a very specific way to do a very specific action, and that is to provide ourselves with oxygen protection and energy, which normal cells say, thank you. Abnormal cells say, I can't deal with this. I need to turn on another process or just go away entirely, or it gives your body the opportunity, like WJ said earlier, when your immune system comes back online, when your digestive tract is back online, when all these functioning cells, when your pancreas is working, your kidneys are working, your liver is working, they're all working in unison like a good concert, guess what? You're a healthy individual. If they're not, then something needs to be retuned. And that's where I think the doctor-patient relationship, the doctor is like, he's the orchestrator. He knows what's missing. He can hear that violin is out of tune. Uh-oh, we got to work on your liver over here. You got to get some heavy liver burden going on here. And your kidneys aren't doing so well. You know what? Your immune system's a little down. Let's do these things to bring that stuff back online and let your body do what it was designed to do.
You know, so many times people think of an immune system as just something that will help me with my cold or flu. And they don't realize that the immune system is actually, I think it probably should be renamed at this point because everybody has such a different connotation of actually what it really does. And how an immune system really is something that they call a protection, but is it really protection? Really what an immune system is bringing in what it needs, using what it needs, releasing what it doesn't need, and then starting that cycle all over again. And when others may think of an immune system, they think of it as, I'm going to put my coat on when I go out because I'm going to have a cold, you know, or I'm going to take my vitamin C lozenge because, oh, it says on the package. And really what you said about the orchestra, it is so much more. And when we get in trouble is when we start, like with the analogy with the blueberries in the beginning of this call, you know, oh, I'm going to eat them for 2 weeks, but then I'm not going to touch them again anymore. And it's really about balancing and overflushing, like I had said before about, you know, you've really got to do double positives to overcome all of those other negatives that may be going on across the board. And how hard that is to be able to balance. You really need a team of people, as we've said, to be able to go around and help you in each of those arenas. And I think at AMARC you have a lot of people there that can help and support people. WJ, have you found with AMARC a lot of help in consultation and in helping guide you with advice?
Well, I've found tremendous support. I've never had a problem picking up the phone, calling AMARC at their toll-free number and talking to the head researcher, Gary Mattson, and telling him what I'm going through and how I feel and what his recommendations are. And as things progress, like over the last 7 years, and I've been on a very strict regimen. I take poly every single day, and I don't miss it. Maybe once in a while, once in a blue moon, I might be out busy doing something, and I forget to take it, or I'm, you know. But generally speaking, I take it 360 out of 365 days a year. And when they come up with a new formulation, they come up with, but like for example, recently they started adding supplemental vitamin D3. They said it helps absorption of poly-MVA, and they found that vitamin D3 is good for you anyways, so it wouldn't hurt to take dose of vitamin D3 up to 10,000 units. I take 5,000 because I'm in the sun and I'm exposed to sun all the time, so I don't need as much as some people who are indoors all the time would need. So I started adding a couple years ago vitamin D3 at their recommendation. And recently they started talking about adding supplemental alpha lipoic acid, vitamin A, and I've done that too. So we converse all the time about the best combination, you know, as things refine through the research that they do at AMARC. And I just adjust my formula according to what they've come up with. And like I say, I feel great and I look great. And I'm very fortunate. I owe a lot to the people at AMARC. I believe they've been responsible for helping me maintain my health at where it's been and not falling off the edge and going to such a high level that I'm going to have to, you know, be concerned about taking drugs. And in fact, I've had two doctors, one at City of Hope and actually one at MD Anderson. They said that the way things are going now with my type of cancer, that looks like I'm going to die from natural causes before the cancer gets me. And I really believe I owe a lot of that to the combination of nutrition and vitamins I've been getting through AMARC and also the research they've done and the advice I've gotten from their researchers themselves.
Well, you know what, too? I was just thinking, as we had said before about my relatives who are living to a very old age, and I think back on my own health, and there have been several instances where I've been highly exposed, as I said, with the mercury and the hygiene and the fluoride and all that other with my work, but also the area in which I lived was just down the street from a copper smelting plant. And, of course, you never think anything of it when you're a kid and you're drinking the water, and yet it always tastes like metal, you know. Who knew, right? And it was okay that we had a coal in our cellar. That's what we used for heat. And we would always go down and put the coal in the morning and take out the ashes at night and put them out on the sidewalks, you know, so we wouldn't slip and fall in the snow. But I think a lot of times people say, well, those nutrients, maybe they're not any good for me now because I'm sicker. Or some people may say, I'm not sick yet, so I really don't need them. But then I think when I look back at supplements and say, you know, it's all along the line that you need them. Maybe I probably should have been taking them when I was drinking that water that was tasting like metal or when I was exposed to the cold that was coming up in the house. And, you know, and even later when I was doing the mercury. So all of these exposures in our life tend to take the reactions in our body and kind of turn them down or shut them off or cause them to go into a different product. And what I mean by that is I always tell my kids, they're all in their 30s now, but anyway, A plus B will always equal C, but over the equal sign is items that will have that reaction to go. So if your two things in your body are supposed to work one way, and either A or B, or the things over that equal sign, one of those is out of kilter or not in the right amount, you're not going to have the right C. So that is how I try to explain to people to look at nutrients. When we talk about poly-MVA and, you know, the CoQ10 and the vitamin D and the vitamin A, those are all pieces of the puzzle. They are things that go over the equal sign. Okay, and maybe your body is doing regular A and B, but it's been jammed up someplace. You've got too much of one thing and not enough of another, and it really needs to go to make that cell healthy. So that's kind of my basic, let's talk to my grandmother, this is how your cells work. And I think products like this and explaining that you really need to be doing your nutrition, you really need to be healthy and doing what you're supposed to be doing, like exercising, like you've said it, WJ, and doing things all the way around the circle is what really can help us live those extra 20, 30 years if that's what we wish.
Well, that's definite. There's no doubt about that. And like I said, I really do firmly believe that that the experts, and just so you know, I'm not paid by Pauly MBA products or A-Mark. I do this as a volunteer basis because I truly believe that the product itself has kept me where I'm at and maintained my health at its high level. And I just, you know, I run into people and talk to people, and they're surprised to find out that I have the leukemia, and I'm still so active. In fact, I fly with a lot of people that are younger than me, my co-pilots. They have a hard time keeping up with me, and it's a funny thing. When I'm at work, everybody, when they find out they're flying with me, they know they better, you know, get their tennis shoes on because they're going to be out running around, exploring new things and doing different things they've never done before that require a lot of physical activity. And one of the things that my type of leukemia has is you're supposed to be low in energy, be tired all the time, et cetera. And I've got lots of energy, and I owe a lot of that really to, I think, the supplements that I am taking, you know, plus the exercise, of course.
Well, it's a prime example of just how it's, you know, in our mitochondria alone, there are 400 different 400 or 270? We'll call it 300 to be safe. 300 different processes that are going on at one time. So a lot of times for our minds and the way we think as humans, we want to just think linearly, just from A to B, and that's all that it's going to take. And if we fix that, then the problem goes away. But physiologically, that's not the way our bodies work. And so when doing, all these things work together. So in anything, and out of balance is going to cause a problem. So like WJ says, he's working out, he's eating right, and he's taking a supplement. Okay, which one is doing it? I know some people that had advanced stage cancers, and they did nothing except, heck, they just changed their job. Their job was so stressful. It was so stressful that they were so unhappy that their quote-unquote disease went away. Well, I don't. That's not far fetched. If you're under that much stress, and we know that stress will suppress an immune system, I could see why. Okay, but I also know other people that's not going to work for them. I know some people that went to juicing, and that's all they did. Okay, great. Some people did nothing but a detox. Great. So what was causing yours was a combination. You were more heavily relied on from a toxicity point of view, and by dumping those toxins, you freed the burden from your body to to be healthy again. Great. Does that mean it's the sole answer? No. What the research shows, what we have seen, what long-term survivors of any type of disease means they had to change their lifestyle. They had to make a complete change across the board, a little bit here, maybe a little bit more of this one. You know, that's fine. Whatever that is, there's no right or wrong, and there simply is what it is. And if we look and we use what's known as evidence-based medicine, right? It's evidence-based. It's what we see. It's why I think, you know, it's what I love about the naturopathic point of view of medicine, that's where they first come from. They're stepping into, that's evidence. Someone gets well because they eat that tree bark over there. That was evidentiary for me.
Maybe it was a flu. Mm-hmm. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But it doesn't deny it that it didn't happen. So I crack up when modern medicine says, oh, they love it in cancer. They love spontaneous remission. You ever heard that?
Yes.
Well, I guess you just had a spontaneous remission. Oh, okay.
Yes.
It couldn't have been all the things that WJ was doing. They can't acknowledge
that. That's right.
That, because if they were to acknowledge the fact that he somehow was able to do it and it wasn't what they did, their whole paradigm would be would come up against
challenged.
Them they're there to deal with. So that's okay. I understand it. Is it changing? Of course it is. Is it changing as fast as we'd like it is? No. But it is changing. And, you know, thank you again for doing the show that you do, because you're giving people the opportunity to learn and do it for themselves, because, you know, patient compliance, patient understanding, patient education is far more important and long-lasting of a change for people than simply them coming in, you prescribing something, them doing it, and then 9 times out of 10, they'll stop it and they'll go back to their old ways because they didn't learn it fundamentally. They didn't see the long-term effects of what they needed to do for their body and their health.
And some, and we have to honor, too, that some that are going to choose that, and that's okay
sure.
for them, too.
Sure.
And that is,
okay.
And that's very hard to watch, and
it is
very difficult to be around. We have, I think, Gary is on the line. Let's see. Hi, Gary.
Hello.
Hi, Mr. Madsen. This
Good
is Dr.
morning.
Jeanette.
Yes, just call me Gary, please.
Great. Thank you so much for being on the show today. We have about 20 minutes left, and we would love to hear your story about how you work with AMARC and how you even got there in the first place.
Well, thank you. Back in 2000, my wife, Joyce, was diagnosed with stage 4 brain tumor, glioblastoma multiforme 4. And we were totally ignorant of anything holistic or natural. My oldest son is a physician. He got the best surgeon, the best oncologist, the best radiologist to be found in San Diego, California. And that was the path that we went. Actually, during the biopsy, they had to go in so deep to try to get a sample of the tissue, they paralyzed my wife. So she walked in the hospital under her own volition and left in a wheelchair and never walked again. So it was inoperable, and all they could do, they said, was chemo and radiation. 4 months later, we were losing her with a lot of damage from those protocols, and they gave her 2 weeks to live. A friend told us about poly-MVA. We took it to my doctor's son by then was so distressed at how all conventional medicines were failing, treatments were failing, that he took the poly-MVA to Joyce's oncologist, his mother's oncologist, and she said, well, I've never heard of it. There's nothing in it that would hurt your mother, and I have nothing more to offer. So why not try it? We did. Unfortunately, her immune system was so compromised by then, we were not able to save her, but instead of 2 weeks, we had her 6.5 months. The only doctor who really stayed with us through this whole ordeal when we shifted gears was our radiation oncologist who did the MRIs. And he was astounded because this type of tumor has been known to double every 2 weeks unless it's being treated, and the tumors quit growing. So when we went in for the next MRI, and we started in June with the poly, in September, he said, this is unreal. Everything's stable. There's been absolutely no growth. Only one thing troubles me, and that is in the brainstem, there's a little mark. I think it's just an irregularity on the MRI, but we've got to watch that. So we thought we were winning. A couple months later, just before the next MRI, she had a grand mal seizure. We got her through that. It took her, I insisted, we've got to find out what's going on. The radiation oncologist came out, told my doctor's son and I. He said, this doesn't make any sense. All the original tumors are dead. The little mark that we thought was just a irregularity on the MRI is a tumor, and it's growing out of control. His next question was, how could this product destroy the original tumors and not touch this one? We asked him, how long do we have? And he said, well, maybe a month. It was 19 days later that we lost her. By then, another son and I had become very involved in this project as volunteers and began to, and then I eventually went to work on the project because I saw the power of it. I saw how it had transformed our family in giving us all that extra time and how the hope it had given us. The big question was, what happened? A few months later, we were in conversation with Dr. Steven Sinatra, who is one of the leaders, and he's a cardiologist, one of the leaders in integrative medicine, and we just asked him, what happened? You know about polyMVA. You've spoken about it. You've written about it many times. Tell us what happened. And he said, well, I think the I know the brainstem has poor blood flow and poor absorption, so I don't think the poly could get in there.
Okay.
And we said, what could we have done? He said, I think CoQ10 would have made the difference. By then, I was working on the project, so I pled with the Sanchez family, let's put everybody on CoQ10. We did, and Dr. J, today we have a number of brain tumor patients, brainstem tumor patients particularly, that are alive and well because of this discovery. It was too late for Joyce, but we learned so much, and along the way we've learned as we've, you know, as we've followed patients, we've learned so much about the importance of integrating other good supplements and protocols to enhance and to work with the poly. And this has changed my life. You know, I'm sure anyone, you've talked to many folks about cancer. I don't know your own personal story, but cancer changes our lives, and you're never the same. And that's why I do what I do.
Well, you know, so many times people will say, you weren't on the call then, we were talking about watchful waiting.
Right.
And I really, and what I was saying was, well, when he tells you watchful waiting, I want you to go sit on your couch and don't get off of it until 6 months when it's time to come back to see me, because all you're doing is watchful waiting. And what is
yes.
the point? Nothing has changed.
Nothing.
And how people really need to take control of that and do something for themselves. And how hard that is. I mean, I really can say it's very hard, because it's been hard for myself. It's been hard for other family members. I went to a healing mass about a month ago here in New Orleans at a shrine of a saint that does healing masses. They do this, you know, once a year. But anyway, I had the concept in my mind that I was going to a healing mass at a Catholic church, a shrine. Oh, my goodness, they're going to be coming from everywhere. There's going to be buses and stretchers and all these wheelchairs and all these people looking for this ultimate healing, right, to, like,
right.
raise them up out of their chairs and all. Guess what? It was nothing like that at all. There were no stretchers. There were no wheelchairs. There was just people sitting in the pews. And I'm, like, looking at it and saying, are these people suffering in silence? What type of inward, what is going on in them that they're coming to a healing mass? And how people are really looking to find a healing and where to the extremes they will go.
Right.
But then they don't want, it's sort of like I always want someone else or something else to fix me when I really need to be fixing myself, as we
exactly.
have said, all around the paradigm.
Well, we've been duped, you know, that the conventional medical profession has all the answers and that we're not capable of finding anything for ourselves. And some of us have to learn, you know, that's been our education, that's been our concept, and sometimes it becomes fatal because we wait too long.
Well, if I could interject here, I'd like to just say that I've been to the premier medical centers in the country, and like you said earlier, watchful waiting was the word. But to
right.
you know, to use an old American phrase, but to nip it in the bud and start mm-hmm. with poly-MVA and work with AMARC, I think I've really improved my condition and helped myself by jumping on and not just watchful waiting, but by doing something for it. And you're speaking to the horse's mouth right now. You're hearing it from the horse's mouth. I mean, I actually had this disease. I was told by the experts that, you know, watchful waiting was the thing to do. But, they didn't know why I wasn't progressing like most patients do.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I can attribute it to is by the protocol that Gary Madsen recommended and Al Sanchez and his teams, you know, as far as taking what I'm taking and the supplements. And I think that by nipping it in the bud and not watchful waiting and doing something, mm-hmm. taking action, I think that's why I've been blessed with such a great prognosis.
We give them too much power when they say watchful waiting. It's sort of like we gave them the power that they're going to be able to save us. And I think I would put that in quotes. They're going to save us. You know, when the time comes, hey, when you're ready to hit the wall, I'm going to catch you just before you do.
Mm.
When really all along you've been diffusing through that wall, you just haven't hit the hard surface yet. You know, and I look at people all the time because I work with clients at the end of life, and with this new, people say, oh, well, Obamacare is going to turn around, there's going to be death sentences. What they're really saying is that when you've come to the end, the doctor's going to have to decide what that end is, and when you get to that end, the day, if you decide on Friday that that's the end, there's nothing else you can do as an MD, your treatments and therapy stop that day. You don't refill your prescription on Saturday. So
right.
whatever happens for your next 6 months is really in your control. And what's really bothering the hospice community now is that people are having remissions. People are having these things happen to them in that last 6 months, but they're really on the hospice dime, which is a really big difference. So what happens is people maybe say, okay, finally the doctor let go of his reins and I hit the wall. Whoa, now I have to do something. So what I would hope, we have 10 minutes left to the show, is I would really hope that everybody listening would really come home with this, is that the wall's always there. It's just a matter of where you are in the paradigm of diffusing through that. And you really need to take control of yourself. And, you know, MDs have, maybe not give them a label of power. Say that the MDs are doing their best, the NDs do their best, the supplement
right.
companies, the nutrition companies, everybody's doing their best, everybody's supporting. If you throw some seeds in the ground and you're waiting for a cucumber, well, it's got to rain, you've got to have dirt, you have to have protection if there's too much sun. All of these things are in cohesion to be able to work together. And so how can you accomplish that with yourself?
Yeah, it's a matter of taking responsibility. Most of us are afraid to do that, Dr. J. We were.
Well, a lot of times we don't know. They're not sure how, Gary, and I think that's part of what
right.
we do.
Right.
What we do and why we're doing what we're doing is to help empower them, like Dr. J mentioned earlier. This is just another opportunity. WJ is a great example. You're a great example. We're all in the same ocean. We're just sailing different boats, and
right.
we can help each other and work together and bring this information so that we can empower people to realize they do have choices, they do have options, and there is hope. There's always hope. And if we're all going to die at some point, and we'd love to extend that forever, but it's not going to be. Will it be cancer? Will it be something else? We don't know. But I just know that I'd much rather feel that I did my best to do something about it versus once you know it, I think all of us are doing what we're doing because now we know. If we didn't know, like a lot of people don't know, and our responsibility
right.
is to them to let them know and lead them that, hey, there's some water over here. If you want to drink, it's yours to drink. If you don't, that's your right as well as also. But if you want it, there's people that will help you.
Well, we have 9 minutes left, and the reason I'm saying that is I would like to give each one of you just time to give us a closing mark and how they may be able to find out more information about the product and the company and all the things we've talked about today. So if Al, if you could start first, that would be great.
Sure. So the easiest way to find out more information is you can give us a call at 866-PAULIE-MVA, or you can go online and visit us at www.PAULIEMVA.com. That's P-O-L-Y, M as in Mary, V as in Victor, A as in Apple.com. You can read about the Pauli. You can read about its history. You can read about the science. I'm sure you'll have questions. We'd be happy to email you or send you information so to help you understand, depending on what your questions are. There's our best piece of information out there would be a breakthrough booklet that we have that kind of gives a good synopsis of everything about the product and its history, Dr. Garnett, dosing, guidelines, a lot of FAQs that most people often have. And then do your research, you know, ask your questions. Don't just hear it from myself, but it's part of the reason why we have Gary and WJ and we have others that have been part of this project for quite some time. So, you know, one of our company values is that knowledge is power, and it gives you the ability to feel that you can influence and affect your circumstances, which we all can. And there is nobody knows when we're going to live or when we're going to die. The doctors aren't God. They just have an opinion.
Right. Yes,
and,
that's correct.
And they don't know. And we don't know everything either. It's how
right.
We talk about how we're working together. We're sharing so that we can try and figure out some answers to questions that we might have. And so if you'd like more information, we're here to help. It's what we do each and every day. We're on the West Coast, so you can contact us anytime via phone between the hours of 8 and 5 and online. We'll typically get back to you within 24 or 48 hours, depending on the day that you contact us. So thank you.
Great.
For anybody.
Thank you so much, Al, for being with us. I really appreciate it. You know, I think it's somewhat important for people to know that really everything is doing in medicine and in healthcare and in supplements and everything is really just helping us to live today better than, you know, yesterday. It's really about each day because we don't know what that last day will be. And, you know, and hope is what you have for the next day. You hope you do have a next day. So thank you so much for doing that. I would love to have WJ, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Please. Yes, sorry. If you could just please share with us, you know, your last parting thought.
Well, first thing I'd like to do is thank Al and Gary and their entire team, and it is a team over there at AMARC.
Yes.
A lot of great people over there that help. And like Al says, I called the same number, 1-866-PAULIE-MVA.
Right.
And whenever I have any questions or I know of anybody that might be in need of the product, I have them call that number. But I just am a prime example of somebody who was diagnosed with a cancer and took action and decided to nip it in the bud, get it in the beginning before it spread too much, and tried the product. And I can just tell you that I'm thriving. I'm living my dream. I'm still flying all over the world as an airline pilot. And I would say the reason I'm doing this is in no small part to not only my lifestyle and exercise, but in a great part by using PAULIE-MVA to enhance my own personal immune system to keep my cancer at bay. And I'm really limited in nothing. In fact, one of the doctors, when I have my annual report, they write on the report to the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, that he is limited. He has no limitations on his physical requirements, meaning that I am not restricted to anything. And the FAA continues to give me exemptions to continue to fly my job with a disease that is supposed to be grounding for an airline pilot. And like I said, I just can't, you know, you become your own expert when you've diagnosed with cancer, you know, and you look on the internet, you read the books, you read the information that's out there that's available. You have to be your own advocate and take charge. And that's something that I did with the help of the people from AMARC. And I just think that you just can't sit by and watch yourself wither away. You have to take and do something about any disease you have or any situation you have, whether it's not only a physical disease but a mental disease, and take action. You know, there's many people out there that have diseases, and like Al says, we're all in the process, some process of dying from the moment we're born. And but you want to make life and live life to the fullest you can. And I believe this product that's put out by AMARC has helped me live my life and continue to live my life to the fullest.
Thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your story. I know that a lot of people can connect with, you know, someone that is saying, this is how I did it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us, Dr. J, on this program.
Thank you. And Gary?
Yes, I had to slip away for a moment to take a call, but I'm back. Thank you so much for inviting me to participate. I remember the day that WJ called about 7 years ago, and what a difference the sound of his voice is today than that day. So it's wonderful to witness. You know, we can't, because this is a supplement, we can't make any cancer cure claims, but we have many doctors, many survivors who feel that Polly has given them a new lease on life and is a great part of their recovery. And my challenge, Dr. J, to everyone in the listening audience would be, do your homework. Check out the options. There are good options. I personally, because of my own experience, believe that Polly is one of the very best, and I would encourage you to give us a call. We have consultants. I'm the senior consultant. We have other consultants that can assist you, look at the material, check us out, and see if this might be an option that would work for you, that would be helpful for you.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today, too. You know, I think people, I think once you get a diagnosis, the first thing you have is fear. The second thing you think is internet. And the third thing you think is, what the heck next?
Right.
So when you get to that, what the heck next, then that's when you need to be looking up, you know, some alternatives. And Polly is something to supplement, to work, you know, together in your plan and really look inside yourself to see what you need to do, too.
Exactly.
Well, thank you to everyone for being with us today. It's been a really great show, and I know that a lot of people probably have questions, and I would highly encourage you to contact Polly MVA, because I do know this for a fact. You will get someone on the phone. It is not, I dial a 1-800 number and then, oh, well, they're going to shift me off to somebody else to just buy something and they're going to tack on a little rider or whatever and all this other stuff, you know. You know how those people are when you call. But this is not the same process. Polly MVA at AMARC, you will find help, support, someone to listen to you. You will also find some guidance, advice, and a little bit direction where you may be able to make some shifts in your lifestyle and in your nutritional intake and be able to make changes in your overall health. So I really believe that when fear hits, as I've said, it's time to really start looking around and seeing what else is out there, because life is not what it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. Your mother may have died in the 60s and 70s or the 80s or the 90s, and you did this certain path of, this is what we did, this is how mine will look, and that's what it will be. That is not true anymore. So it's very important to know that. There are different ways of doing things these days, because there's also all of these other assaults on us from the environment and our lifestyle these days and what we're intaking in nutrition. And everything plays a part. Just depends on where that ebb and flow is. You know, I like to think of good health as a river flowing downstream. I grew up in Pennsylvania, so I know this well. There'll be little sticks sticking out, and then the next time there'll be a big boulder there. You can go back 6 months later. There's moss on there, and then there'll be a beaver underneath. Well, that river doesn't want to flow anymore. So the more we can help our body to just flow easily, without having any barriers that can accumulate and build up into a possible toxin product, just it's really great. So really, really pay attention on how you can get your body to flow. Get out there, see what you can do. Take care of yourself. And I would encourage you to just relax and just try to ease through that fear and go through the door easily. Thank you so much, everyone, for being with us today. If you'd like more information, there are links on this show page for Polly MVA. Thank you so much for being with us.